Good morning. Good morning. That's better. It's an honor for me to worship with you, redeemed people of God from different parts of India and the world. And it's a joy to worship with Zion Church. I was also privileged to be at the picnic yesterday, and I enjoyed a lot. Thank you so much for inviting me and helping me to be a participant yesterday. I'm here the third time, I think. I already shared about India Bible Literature. As I told you, I work with India Bible Literature. I come from Andhra Pradesh. God saved me in the year 1969. When I was a student and did not know the Lord, a senior friend of mine shared the gospel with me, and I resisted for 2 years, and the Lord was merciful to me, and the Holy Spirit God convicted me of my sin, and I gave my heart to the Lord. Dr. William Scott, the founder of India Bible Literature, was a missionary in my hometown, Ongole. And I met him in 1969. Dr. Scott was an administrator in the Baptist Mission Hospital. And Mrs. Scott is a lab in charge. And they have mentored me. When I finished my college in 1976, Dr. Scott asked me, would you like to join India Bible Literature to distribute Bibles? And I prayed over the matter and joined with IBL. And this is the 42nd year I am with IBL, and I'm still excited, even though I have some health issues. God is good to us. God is good to me. And Acts 13:36 says, for David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell asleep. Dr. Scott came to India in 1950, and he worked in India for 68 long years, and then he slept. I have already shared about IBL. Information to you, I would like you to see our website, iblministries.in. Last year, Dr. Scott, for his birthday, he asked for people to donate so that he could distribute 90,000 Bibles for his 90th birthday. And all the money that he has collected, $100,000, was donated to India Bible Literature to purchase land for India Bible Literature. At the moment, we have 3 warehouses we are renting. So we don't have to do that any longer, because now we have a land and we are praying to put the building upon the land. India Bible Literature distributes about 85,000 pieces of scriptures every working day in all the major languages of India. Are you not happy that the word India is mentioned in the book of Esther twice? India is mentioned twice. God loves India. Are you not happy that Thomas, one of the disciples, came to India and was martyred in Chennai? My pin code, I live in Villivakkam in Chennai city. Villivakkam pin code is 6,49,000. There are 75 churches in that little pin code. There are 10,000 or more churches in Chennai city because of the blood of Thomas. I'm trying to encourage you to pray for India Bible Literature. And what is the point of distributing Bibles if you cannot read and write? Half of the population cannot read and write. We have this program known as Literacy, Adult Literacy Program. In Telugu, Vayojana Vidya. In Tamil, Mudiyor Kalvi. For those people who are elderly, men and women, 2 hours a night, 5 days a week, for 10 months, if they join together in a small group of 30, they will come up to fifth grade level, and we give them a copy of the Bible in their own mother tongue. And many times, they are coming to know the Lord, 60 to 70% of them. During this worship service, I do not want to dwell more time on this, but I would like you to partner with India Bible Literature. We have many programs. We work with children. We work with pastors. We also do social helps. We have five-fold program. You can see that from our website. We are providing study Bibles for pastors, $8 a piece. Sometimes in Christmas time or birthday times, you can donate Bibles, study Bibles, at the cost of a meal in USA. If you skip one meal this year, a pastor in India can get a study Bible. You can get more information from our website. With $1, we are reaching a child so that he will come to know the Lord during the 12 days VBS program. Kindly partner with us. Kindly pray for us. India, even though Thomas came 2,000 years ago, because of poverty, idol worship, spiritual darkness, caste system, still we are only 3% Christians in India, as you are aware. 97% of them needed the Savior's love. Thank you. Let's look to God's word. Let's pray. Our gracious God and loving Father, as we look to you this morning, we pray that you will quicken our hearts. Speak to me. Speak to each one of us. And we pray thee, O dear Master, let your word richly dwell in us this morning. And the Holy Spirit God will speak to me and speak to us. We thank you. We worship you. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. This morning, I want to thank Beth and Wayne for coming all the way driving Dr. Scott's family. Let's turn to 2 Timothy chapter 21, chapter 2, verse 20 and 21. I will read from NKJV. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 20 and 21. But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. This morning, the theme or the topic for my message is vessel unto honor. Vessel unto honor. Which vessel God will use? Paul is writing about the apostasy in the church in these verses. There are 7 epistles Paul wrote about the apostasy, the degeneration in the community, in the church, as well as in individual lives. And he wrote to his disciple, a young man by name Timothy. He is a dearest friend, closest associate, and a trusted worker. Timothy remained faithful till the end, even though all the people in Asia left Paul. Yet Paul was not discouraged. He emerged as a winner. And he said in 2 Timothy 4 chapter 7th and 8th verses, I have fought a good fight. I have finished the race, he said. Paul was encouraging Timothy how to be careful about the apostasy, about the degeneration that is happening in the community. Just like in times of Noah preached the gospel, asked people to enter the ark for 200 years, I was told, as per the Bible. And people were laughing. People were doing all kinds of things. It's very much typical these days. People are not bothered about God. So Paul was writing about this apostasy, how to protect himself. And he said 3 different things. Number 1, accept the fact that there is degeneracy. It is already prophesied in the Word, already in the Bible. In the pulpit, you see so much happening around the country and around the world. True gospel is not being preached. Many times, social gospel, is being preached from the pulpit. There are churches, I'm afraid to say, do not use the name of Jesus Christ. They have the full service. Sometimes they do not use the blood of Christ, the cross of Christ, the word of God, and the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. But still something is being said. It's just like a social gathering. It's happening. It's happening in the pulpit. It's happening in the congregation. It's happening in individuals. The second thing is, Timothy was asked not to depart from the church. Nevertheless, Timothy should continue to be in the local church and be faithful, even though there are many unfaithful are there. The third thing he said is, he must aspire to be holy individually. Individually. 1 Timothy 5th chapter verse 22 says, keep yourself pure. Individually be holy, he says. 2 Timothy 3rd chapter 5th verse, having a form of godliness but denying its power, and from such people turn away. Draw yourself away. That's what he said. In order to continue to have the model, continue to be a winner, Timothy was encouraged with an 8-fold picture in this particular book. In this particular book, Paul has given eightfold picture how to be careful to be away from apostasy and degeneration. The first one, it says, steward. Be a steward. Second chapter, second verse. And all and the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. A steward owns nothing. A steward has privilege to use all the things, everything. But a steward is accountable. The first picture, how we can protect ourselves is we are stewards. The second picture is soldier. Third verse and fourth verse. You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. We are all soldiers, and Jesus Christ is our captain. We are supposed to do the fighting for the Lord Jesus Christ. We are on the same side to win the world from the enemy. The third picture that is given in this book is athlete. We are in a race. Fifth verse says, and also if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he completes according to the rules. We're seeing all the time the games, the soccer games, football games, in India, cricket. In Russia, things are happening, you know, football. They have rules, set rules. An athlete has to play as per the rules. A Christian is to protect himself from impurity as per the rules laid in the rule book, that is the Holy Scriptures. The fourth one is a farmer, verses 6 and verses 7. The hard-working farmer must be first to take part of the crops. Consider what I say, and may the Lord give you understanding in all the things. Some people do not understand farming, but for those of us who come from India, India being an agricultural country, we all know farming. There's a time for cleaning, there's a time for sowing, there's a time for putting manure, putting water, and the time for harvesting. It's a seasonal. And then a farmer is the model that was given by Paul to Timothy. We are like farmers. We need to do the thing we are supposed to do at the given time. Like harvesting the souls, winning the souls for Christ. We need to do that. The fifth one is an instructor. Paul is encouraging Timothy to be an instructor. 2 Timothy, 11th verse and 4th verse. False teachers are there and unfaithful people are there in the community, in the society, in the congregation. We need to equip ourselves with the faithful word that's given in the word of God. The sixth thing that Paul is writing is about a student. 2 Timothy, 2nd chapter, 15th verse. Be diligent to present yourselves approved of God, worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. This is very, very important. We need to be the students of the word of God. If you want to pass in an exam, you have to study well. You have to do very well. And it's so important in students' life, the priority is studies. To us as believers, as children of the Most High God, in order to know the mind of God, we need to get to our word so powerfully every day of the year. And many times, since we are so busy with many things, we are occupied with so many things, with technology, with diversion, we are forgetting sometimes, like Martha. Martha, Martha, you are cumbered with many things, but Mary has chosen the right thing. And we need to do that. I'm wondering how much time are we spending with the Lord? How much time we are spending with the Word of God? As a student of the Bible, how much time we are doing that? Jesus, in spite of all his busy schedules, he gets up in the morning, he raises early in the morning, and he goes and prays, spends time with the Heavenly Father. We can see that in over and over again. Maybe we can see that verse. Mark chapter 31st. Now in the morning, having risen a long while before day night, he went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed. Jesus himself went out early in the morning. In Telugu, it's a nice word, it's written there. Pendala kadane lechi. Very early in the morning. Before anything happens. Before anybody can disturb me. Before any phone call comes to me. I must spend my time with the Lord. I must be a student to pass the examination. In other place, it's very clearly written. Jesus was healing the mother-in-law of Peter. And people are after him. After the miracle happened, hundreds and hundreds of people were there. But Jesus, in spite of all this havoc, confusion, Jesus slipped away into a solitary place and he spent time. Jesus prayed, spent time with the Heavenly Father. If he could do that, if he needs to do that, how much more you and I can do? We are in need of such a time, private time. So the priorities, I think, is the most important thing. What is first, we have to do first. What is second, we have to do second. So as a student of the Word of God, as a student of prayer, we must be filled with the Word. We must spend our time with the Lord. Even when the disciples are being chosen, Jesus spent the whole night in prayer to make the right decision. We make so many decisions. And haphazardly we run around and we make so many decisions. And we end up in a mess sometimes. When Jesus needed so much time with our Heavenly Father and guidance, how much more you and I needs to do that. The seventh example given by Paul was a vessel. A vessel. That's what we read. In a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay. For some for honor, some for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. In earthly realm, a vessel cannot be predetermined. It can be a golden vessel, it can be a wooden vessel, it can be a steel vessel, it can be an aluminum vessel. In earthly realm, these are predetermined, these cannot be changed. But in spiritual realm, this is not true. We are all bought alike by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. All are bought alike. We begin alike, but we don't end alike. Paul says, a vessel fit for the master's use. In Telugu, it's so nicely written, that word. గొప్ప ఇంటిలో వెండి పాత్రలను బంగారు పాత్రలు మాత్రమే కాక కర్రవియు మంటివియు కూడా ఉండును. వాటిలో కొన్ని ఘనతకు కొన్ని ఘనహీనతకు ఉపయోగించబడును. ఎవడైనను వీటిలో చేరక తన్ను తాను పవిత్రపరచుకుని నేడల వాడు శుద్ధిపరచబడి యజమానుడు వాడుటకు అర్హమై ప్రతి సత్కార్యమునకు సిద్ధపరచబడిన ఘనత నిమిత్తమైన పాత్ర అయ్యుండును. ఆమెన్. యజమానుడు వాడుకొని పాత్ర. A vessel fit for the master's use. Paul is encouraging Timothy to be a fit vessel, a worthy vessel which God can use. Can God use an unholy vessel? Can a holy God use an unholy vessel? Even in our own house in India, you want to boil milk, you wash it 3 times and boil the milk. Because milk will be spoiled. You know that? We all know it's a common sense. How can a holy God use an unholy person? That's why Paul says, sanctify yourself. Be pure. Flee from youthfulness. You must be clean so that God can use. It is true, in the Old Testament, the words are so clearly written in Leviticus. I am the Lord who sanctify you. In other places he says, sanctify yourselves because I am going to do a new thing for you or a new miracle for you. So it's on the both sides. God is the one who sanctifies us. God is the one who cleanses us. But at the same time, it's your own desire. Your own cleaving. As the heart, as the deer panteth for living waters, a thirst for living waters. David in Psalm 42 So clearly he has mentioned the thirst for God. So this vessel, it can be an ordinary vessel in spiritual realm when we are washed in the precious blood of Christ. But as we begin to walk with him, as we begin to be obedient to his calling, we become a vessel fit for the master's use. The last one is a servant. Second chapter, 24th verse. And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel and be gentle to be able to teach, patient in humility, correcting those who are in opposition. These are 8 pictures given by Paul to his disciple Timothy. Timothy, my young man, you be careful. The days are so bad. The days are so wicked. There is no godliness in the community, in the world. But you be pure. It says very clearly, stay away. Stay away from all these things. Flee from youthfulness. And you be concerned about your own mettle, your own spiritual life. I wanted to bring an illustration from John's Gospel, chapter 4. This Samaritan woman, she was a sinner. She came to the Lord. God has touched her. God has delivered her from her sin. He forgave her. And she was saved. Not only she was saved, she was sanctified. Not only she was sanctified, she became a soul winner. She brought the whole village to the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. The village people said, you only said a little bit about this man. When we came there, we saw much more things happening. And the village people have asked him to stay in that village and to have a few more days of revival meetings. A sinner, saved, sanctified, and a soul winner. But sometimes what happens, we don't go into all these steps. We go like this. Sinner, we are saved, we are sanctified, and then we are satisfied. And we stop there. We are not bothered. I want to bring an analogy of the Lord Jesus Christ when he fed the 5,000 people. He asked people to sit in rows of 50s and in hundreds. He broke the bread. He broke the fish. He prayed and distributed and gave to his disciples. And the disciples distributed the food to all the people. And I want to think about this. You are in the first row or the second row. You got the food and you are happy. You are content. You are satisfied. And you are not worried about the people who are sitting in the other rows. Can you imagine that? Maybe it's happening. In Rajasthan, 200 miles, there is not a soul. There is not a church. There is not a witness. It's happening. It's happening. The Bible says we are stewards. We do not own anything. Redeemed people of God, I want to mention one thing very clearly. We are saved alone. We are born alone. We are sanctified alone. We die alone. And we are accountable God alone. In Telugu, it's not in the crowds. You are responsible. Your wife is not responsible. Your husband is not responsible. You are responsible. Those of you who love the Lord, who are washed in the precious blood of the Lord, I want to encourage you. Think of the people who are in the last row. Think of the people who have never heard the name of Christ. In Ezekiel, you know, the warning we are supposed to give, that's what it says. I will read that. Can somebody read for me? Ezekiel. Ezekiel 33:7. Thank you. We are watchmen here. 50 of us are watchmen. There's a danger. There's a danger lurking. And the enemy is devouring whom to eat. But now, God is asking us, we are the watchmen. We need to tell others about the love of Christ. Period. There is no other alternative. We are supposed to do that. If we do not do that, their blood will be upon us. Verse 8 it says. If they do not listen, it's their problem. But we will not be responsible. But if we do not tell them, it's our responsibility. Somebody read 8th verse also. Thank you, thank you. So we are responsible. We are not only responsible, and we are accountable also, the word of God says. We are accountable to God. If your religion and my religion is not more than the religion of Pharisees and Sadducees and scribes, we will not enter the kingdom of God. Nicodemus is a great man, a Pharisee, a lawyer, a religious man, attending the church, doing all the things of God, but never have a change in his heart. John's Gospel, third chapter, it says like this. Jesus answered and said to him, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. This morning I urge you, my friends, redeemed people of God, just like Paul has said, cleanse ourselves from the impurity by becoming these models, of 8 different models. And we pray that God will help us protect ourselves to be pure. A vessel fit for the master's use. Jesus had encountered individuals. Individual responsibility is very, very important. He met Zacchaeus. He met Samaritan woman. He met Nicodemus. He met different disciples. He met Sadhu Sundar Singh. He met you and he met me. So we are accountable. I want you to lay your treasures in heaven, because you are the cream of the society as per the Indian standards. God has blessed you. God has blessed you. But you know, what can we take when we die? We can only take the souls that we have won for Christ. You are familiar with this song. I am not good in singing, but I will read the verse. Must I go an empty-handed, thus my Redeemer meet? Not one day of service give him, lay no trophy at his feet. Must I go an empty-handed, must I meet my Savior so? Day of reckoning is there sometime. We are not sure. It may happen 10 years later, 20 years later, 50 years later, or any day today. The day of reckoning is there, accountability. As God has delivered you from the clutches of sin and put you on a rock, you are a child of God and you are responsible to warn others of the impending danger that is ahead and tell them the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. This morning, let's pray that God will cleanse each one of us, that we will have our priorities right, and we will pray that we will be fit for the Master's use. I want to read that verse once again. Somebody read 2 Timothy Chapter 2, verse 20 and 21. Are you sanctified and useful for the Master? This morning, our question together is, am I a useful vessel for the Master? Let's pray.